this book is that of joy. And one of the things that really diminishes and steals and robs us of joy is that of conflict. And Paul talks about that tonight in the section that we will be in. And he addresses an issue between two women. And the Lord has drawn my attention to that topic. It's not something I would choose, but it was something I couldn't get away from. Not because we're dealing with any kind of conflict within women's ministry or within the church or with people at all, but it's conflict happens. And it's just good to learn some things of how to avoid conflict, and then what do you do when you're in it. So we can just take these things tonight and tuck them away, put them into practice. And so as it tells us in Romans 12:17, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, that we would live peaceably with all men. So Philippians chapter 4, the first 5 verses. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 1, you just see, this is a very personal letter from Paul to the Philippians. And you can see his love and you can see his care and his affection for the believers in Philippi. And he calls them his beloved. And he says they're longed for, and in his heart, he's longing to be with them. We know that he's in prison while he's writing this, so he cannot be with them. But he has that desire to be with them, that longing. He calls them his joy. When he thought of them, it produced joy in his life, and then his crown, and what the Lord, how he used him to bring the gospel to these people, and then how the church began and more believers. And it's just a joy to his heart. He encourages them to stand fast in the Lord. And that stand fast means to stand firm. It means that the foundation that they were given by him and through the word, and that foundation of Jesus Christ, that solid rock in their lives, they're to stand on that, stand fast, to stand firm in the truth of the Lord and his word, to stand firm in his ways, not to budge. Don't move. Don't get pulled away from. And he speaks the same to us, for us in the Lord to stand fast. And we live in a world that is crumbling and that is in a downward spiral. And there are so many things in this world that pull us away and want to trip us up. And he just speaks to us tonight, stand fast. Maybe you feel like you're toppling or you're wavering. Stand fast. Don't budge. Remember in chapter 3, he encouraged us to press on, to move forward, to reach ahead, to keep on keeping on no matter what. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep growing in the Lord and keep looking to the Lord. We need to continue to stand fast, to be steadfast, immovable. Don't budge. Don't let anyone or anything pull you away from the Lord. He goes on and addresses these two women and encourages them. In fact, he doesn't encourage them. He implores them, which means he begs them to have the same mind in the Lord. In other words, resolve your conflict. Whatever the problem is, he's encouraging them to resolve it. And then when he said, I urge you also, true companion, could be that he's speaking to Epaphroditus, who is carrying this letter to the Philippians, that he said, help these women. Help them get this conflict resolved. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. He moves on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I heard Lessa singing that song. And you can't read those verses without singing that little song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But we're not going to do it right now because we have to move on. But as I said at the beginning, conflict is one of those tools of the enemy that just disturbs the joy that we have in the Lord. And not only in our own lives, if there's a little conflict, that our joy is disturbed, but in a body of believers, in a fellowship. And even if I'm not directly involved in it, because I'm part of the body, it's going to affect me. It's going to affect you. And he's, in the context of this conflict thing, he's just saying, you just continue to stand fast and rejoice in the Lord. We can always rejoice in the Lord. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. You know, happiness is very different than joy. I mean, happiness is based on the moment, the circumstances that are favorable for the moment, the mood that I'm in, and something that can make me happy. But joy can remain because joy is in the Lord. Joy is in Jesus. And then verse 5, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And I love, really, the literal translation of this is your sweet reasonableness. I love that. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known to all men, or your gracious courtesy, or your willingness to give way. You're willing to give way. And in the context of this, these two women and their conflict, he's saying, just be willing to give way. So how many of you have ever had a conflict in your life with another person? Okay, every hand, I know, even if you're not raising your hand, I know. And yes, some of you went like this. Yes. Okay, now, how many of you have ever had a part of that conflict because of maybe a little attitude in your own life? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes two. Now, if each Christian continually, all the time, all day long, continue to walk in the Spirit, there would be no conflict. Wouldn't that be nice? That's heaven. That's heaven. But the problem is that we're not perfect. There is no perfect person. Christians are not perfect. Now, that's no excuse to just say, well, I'm not perfect. But they're not perfect. And we can't expect perfection out of others, or they can't expect it from us. We don't always walk in the Spirit. That's just the fact of the matter. And that's where the trouble begins, when we don't. James, in his letter, he asks, now, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? I like the way Phillips translates it. But what about the feuds and struggles that exist among you? Where do you suppose they come from? Can't you see that they arise from conflicting desires for pleasure within yourselves? And most conflicts come from self, from thinking of self. Now, we do not have control as much as we would like to. We do not have control over other people. And we don't have control over whether or not they're walking in the Spirit, whether they're a friend, a husband, or a child. You can control your child's behavior, but going deep down inside their heart, that's the Lord's job. And so we just can't make somebody else walk in the Spirit. But what we do is we have control over our own selves, and we have a choice to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we need to be sure that each and every day we say no to our flesh and yes to the Spirit. No to the flesh and yes to the Spirit, so that we can avoid conflict. Because when we are walking in the Spirit, those things will come against us. If we're in the Spirit and looking and living like Jesus, the conflict, it's going to get resolved pretty quickly. It's when we throw fuel on it because of our own flesh and fleshly desires. We all have weaknesses. We all have particular things that cause us to get in the flesh. You know, there's buttons that can be pushed that would immediately set us off and create a conflict. And the enemy knows those buttons. And it's a good idea to know your own weaknesses so that you're aware, okay, if, you know, it's the whole being a woman and the cycle thing. All right. If this is my bad week, perhaps I ought not to be among this circumstance of these people as much as possible, because the buttons are going to be pushed and I am in a weakened state. So I'm going to remove myself from that. So I have a choice of walking in the Spirit or not, and I need to be aware of my weaknesses so that I can be on guard and then choose to be like Jesus. There can be conflicts in just about every area of our lives. Marriage, of course, is a huge one. And some of those conflicts can be really tiny, little trivial things, and some of them can be huge things. Typically, the huge things began with a little tiny conflict and could be avoided. There can be conflicts between parents and children, children and parents. There are conflicts with friends. I'm sure we've all experienced a little conflict with a friend or two in our lives. Within a church, there can be conflict, or within a ministry and who you're serving with or on your job. They can be caused by misunderstandings, and a lot of conflicts are simply misunderstandings. Because I thought you said that, and I thought you meant that, and I thought when you did that, this is what you meant. And, you know, all of those things that are just a misunderstanding. And they can also be caused by moods. You know, men don't experience that as much as women do, but the fact is that we're moody. And we are really never the same because of the way our bodies are. And so we can get in feisty moods and start conflicts just because we are in the mood, kind of thing. They can be caused by different opinions. And if you're a very strong opinion and you're not willing to yield, there's no sweet reasonableness coming forth from our lives, then those opinions can cause division, can cause a conflict. Unmet expectations. That's a biggie, too. Because I expect you to do. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to have a problem with that. But the problem is, when there's unmet expectations, is usually the other person doesn't have a clue of what I am expecting of them. And, you know, it just spirals. And then a big reason for conflict is warfare. We have an enemy who wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the body of Christ. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy relationships. So he's going to find those buttons and those weaknesses within all of us, and he's going to push, and he's going to push all the time. The fiery darts. And so that we hear something in a way that really didn't get meant that way. Or we see something, or we're part of something. It just, it's all messing with our minds. Jealousy and envy among women can be a cause of conflict. Different personalities. And that's a big one. And we all have different personalities. But when you have extremes, that can cause a problem. If you have the person that's way on this side, that's such a free spirit and never makes plans and just flitters here and there. And then you have this very structured person who's expecting this because they're serving together. And they're expecting this person to, get in line. And she just doesn't care. And, different personalities, they can clash. Or real similar personalities can clash. And those can cause conflicts, too. And it all boils down to self. It all boils down to, I am unwilling to yield in this little misunderstanding or this little difference of opinion or whatever it might be. These two women, Euodia and Syntyche, they were godly women. They were spiritual women. They served the Lord, and they served alongside of the Apostle Paul in the gospel in the city of Philippi. We don't know what they did, but he said that they served, they labored with him in the gospel. So these weren't just, unbelievers. These were believers, but these were spiritual women who were serving the Lord and desiring to be like Jesus. And, we don't know what the conflict was. We're, assuming because he's addressing it that there was a conflict. Maybe they had personality differences. Maybe they had strong opinions. He's gone now. Maybe they served really well when he was there as their leader and to direct them and to speak into their lives. But he's gone now. And so whatever happened, it was a big enough conflict that Paul in Rome heard about it and then cared enough to address it. And he begged them, I urge you, I beg you, to have the same mind in the Lord. Set aside your differences and move forward. And to not let that get in the way of ministry, because it can. It can. And there's nothing more the enemy wants is to destroy a ministry or destroy a marriage again, destroy a family, any kind of relationship. And in this conflict, it also damages their personal witness, their personal testimony to the Lord, because other people are looking and wondering, why can't you solve this problem? If, God is love, he gives us the power of his Holy Spirit. So can you not agree to disagree and to still walk side by side? So I want to talk about just a few things of what we can do if we find ourselves in a conflict. And this is a huge, huge topic, and I'm certainly not going to exhaust it tonight. And we'll just give you just a few little things that if they just are in practice, we put them in practice in our daily lives, it really will help us. Number one, we had already talked about, we need to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit and that our heart is right with the Lord. In chapter 2, we learned that we are to put others first. That it tells us that let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that we would each esteem others better than ourselves, that we would look out for the interests of others. So if that's our heart, our mind, again, we're going to avoid a lot of conflicts. Or if they do come up and that's our heart and mind, they're going to be resolved very quickly. And again, whether that is with a husband and wife, with a parent or a child or friends or serving side by side, if that's our heart, then we can move very quickly to resolve whatever conflict there is. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." You know, it's the turn the other cheek or take the back seat. Take the back seat or take the wrong. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay with my flesh. I will admit that. It is not okay with my flesh because I have rights. And when I'm right, I'm right. But if I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm looking to Jesus, it's okay. It is okay. You know, when King Saul was he was still the king, and David was a younger man, and he brought him in to play the harp for King Saul. What did David do each time Saul threw a spear at him? Talk about a conflict to try to kill him. What did David do? Did he stand up and protest? Did he say, "You shouldn't do that"? Blah, blah, blah. You know what he did? He just left. He just left. And then you know what else he did? He came back. And he had another spear thrown at him too. And he left again. And then it got worse, because then King Saul's out to kill him. And David's on the run hiding from him. Twice David could have killed Saul. And he didn't. He didn't. He took the back seat. That is just hard for us. It is hard. But it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. The other thing that we need to do is to really take a good look at ourselves and ask if somebody has a, and we'll just use women in this because we're talking about these two women, and so we won't talk about marriage or anything, but just talk about women. So if somebody has a problem with you, we need to take a look at ourselves and ask ourselves, now, did I give them reason? Did I give them reason? That's humility. Let me see if there was something I said or how I said it, or if I avoided the person or whatever it might be. Did I do wrong in this? And even if I can say, "Well, I didn't do any wrong," what about my heart? Was my heart right? So we need to examine ourselves. And if you are confronted, I don't know how many of you have ever been confronted. In my 25 years of being a pastor's wife, I think I've been confronted probably twice as many times as I have actually had to confront another person. I've been confronted a lot. But if you are confronted, is there truth in what they're saying? They may be yelling at you. They may be exaggerating, but is there a little bit of truth in that? And then if there is, then take that before the Lord and ask Him to help you change whatever that might be, so another conflict won't occur. And another thing that we can do is we can try to put ourselves in their shoes and see it the way that they see it. Immediately we'll think they're all wrong, and if they're in their flesh, but wait a minute. They may not be in the same place you are in the Lord. They may not be in the same home type Christian environment maybe that you are. Maybe they have a lot of pressure. Maybe they have a lot of things going on that is making them unreasonable and making them react. You know, try to put yourself in their shoes. We gain compassion on people, and when we do that, then we'll extend a little bit more grace to them if they, are confronting us over something that really isn't that big of a deal. Unity and peace is very important to the Lord in His church, in his body of believers. It's very important to him. And so the goal is always to be resolution, restoration. The goal is not ever to be, I'm going to speak my mind and I'm going to see who's right and who's wrong and defend myself. But it's always to bring peace and unity. Now, confrontation, nobody even likes that word. And nobody, I don't think anybody likes confrontation. And if somebody does, then they probably have a little bit of a problem. So nobody likes to be confronted. You know, do you like that? Does that feel good? No. And then nobody really likes to confront because you don't want to do it. You don't want the other person to react. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or it's just not a fun thing. But sometimes it is needed, and perhaps we can just change the word and not say confrontation and just say communication. Communication, because a lack of communication is a cause of a lot of conflict. Because again, there's misunderstanding and all of that. With a little communication, it really helps. Now, Jesus did address when somebody sins against you in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. He said, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. So most of the time, it's not because of some big sin. It's not this big sin that they've sinned against me. They've sinned against you. It's usually a misunderstanding, a difference of opinion, those things that we've talked about. But we can use the same principles. When we talk to that person alone, our first tendency is to talk to our best friend or our husband or somebody else about this person that I'm having a conflict with, because I really need you to pray for me. Instead of talking to the person and then talking alone and keeping it between the two people. Going to the person to communicate, that's the attitude in which we need to go in, and not in, I'm going to tell you everything you're doing wrong. I'm going to point out all your faults. And I'm going to tell you why you hurt my feelings and how you hurt my feelings and all of those things. That's not the beginning of restoration. We need to go in the spirit of humility, and in the goal is unity, peace, to restore, to reconcile. And then again, we put ourselves in the other person's shoes. How would I like to hear this? Even if it is a hard thing that is needed and you have to say to that person, how would I want to receive that? The goal is to please the Lord in the matter. And if that's not our goal, then our spirit's not right and we shouldn't be doing that. Somebody said, and I agree with them, our goal will determine our behavior. So if our goal is to go speak our mind, if our goal is to just point out everything they've done wrong, then our behavior, our body language, our tone, everything will come across that way. And it's not going to be received. But if we go with that sweet reasonableness, willing to yield, it will be received most times. I mean, there are people who won't receive anything. And when we do go to communicate with that person, if that is necessary, I would, and this is not a rule and it's not in the Bible, however, in our day of technology, I would highly recommend face-to-face. You know, I absolutely love communicating through email or a text or something, but that is not the means to a confrontation or communicate good communication. You know, when you get an email that you can misread that, because you can't. There's no tone in that. There's no facial expressions, even if you put happy faces or exclamation points or caps or whatever. You can't. You can misread it. You can read an email in the morning and be so offended and so irritated, and 3 hours later you can go back to it and go, oh well, gee, it wasn't that bad. You know, and it's unfair. And the way this, we are getting so conditioned to communicating through that thing, it's face to face. That, because that's going to really cause us to seek the Lord and to get our heart right. Because I'm looking at the person, and that's hard. Be led by the Lord. Very led by the Lord. You pray and you pray and you pray and you get confirmation, and you make sure that it is the Lord. And then, you know what is a good idea to do? Is you go and you apologize. But it's their fault. I'm going to confront them. You apologize. Did I do something that offended you? If I did, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about what, you know, I'm sensing distance from you, or something's going on. If I've done anything, I'm very sorry. But could we talk about that? And then you can see what the Lord will do. I mean, that, I have been in conversations like that where I have said that to women, and or they have said it to me. And if they've said it to me, I say, absolutely nothing. Nothing. I'm not even feeling this distance. I'm not. And then, boom, the warfare's gone. The veil is lifted. Communication. You know, but if you go humbly, that's just like Jesus. And the timing, the right time. You know, everybody's going through things. And if you're married, I'm sure you've learned by now there are certain times that you talk about certain things, and there are times that you don't talk about certain things. And it's the same within friendships and sisters in the body of Christ, that we don't talk to somebody and confront them in a room full of people right in the middle, kind of a thing. I'll share just a few things, and I'm not making myself a hero to any of this, but these things have happened to me, and I've learned I don't ever want to do that to another person. But remember, years and it was just forever ago, it was at a ladies' retreat, and I had just finished teaching, and we had a break, and I was going to teach again, and I had a woman want to talk to me. And I had no idea what she wanted to talk to me about. Oh, okay. And then I sat down and she just lit into me. And it wasn't very nice. And just, you know, point. And I thought, I said nothing, but I thought, this is not a good time. You know, you know what you have to deal with after that, you know? And then the next morning she came up to me, oh, I'm busted. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, well, that was really nice. You know, I just thought, I don't ever want to do that to a person. Ever. Because I don't like the way that feels. Or another time it was in the hallway, very busy at the old building. And I said to the sister, could we talk about this later? No, she didn't want to. And she just started yelling. Like, I don't ever want timing, place, timing. This is not a good time. So be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Lord's leading and what that other person is going through. And there's just a right time. And then when we go to tell somebody, you know, you've offended me, whatever it might be. We don't need to give a lot of details. You know, I really used to think you were very stuck up. And you know, blah, because I've had that one too, where they just give me a book of all the rotten things they've fought and all the other people, what they've all said, you know, we don't need to hear that. That's too much information at that time. Just, you know, say, I am sorry. I want restoration. I used to have a problem with you. I've dealt with it before the Lord. You don't need to know any more than that. Will you forgive me? You know, we don't need to give those kind of details. Chapter 3 tells us to forget the things that are behind and move forward to the things that are ahead. So once these, whether you are the one communicating to the person or the person is communicating to you, we need to let it go. We need to put it in the past. It's washed under the blood. Accept the apology. And then don't bring it up again. Don't bring it up again. And sometimes that's real hard for our flesh too, because we kind of keep track of things. But, you know, if somebody apologizes to you or you need to them, just forget it and move forward. Accept their apology. And there are times where people will refuse to reconcile. Your heart might be right before the Lord. You've admitted you're wrong in this. You want to get it all laid out. You are open and naked before the Lord, and He knows your heart and everything. And that other person is not budging. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing. You cannot change another person's heart. If you're right before the Lord, then you're free. Then you are free. And the peace comes, not because something's been reconciled, but the peace comes because I've pleased the heart of God. I've represented Him the right way, and He is pleased with my attitude. And I can walk away in peace. And I can then see that sister, and I don't have those weird feelings of, I want to avoid this person. Because I'm in the clear here. She may want to avoid me, but there's nothing I can do about that. All of these things, and I don't know, I'm just assuming these kind of things have happened to you at one time or another. And you know what I'm talking about. If you are in some kind of a conflict or misunderstanding or whatever, and you choose to go to the Lord and leave it with Him, and no, I do not want to talk to the person, I'm just going to forget and I'm going to move on, that is great, because that's really the best way to do it. It's again, to take the back seat, to just move on, just be like Jesus and just move on. But a lot of times we say that, but in our heart we haven't moved on. We haven't moved on. You know, not talking to the person and avoiding the person isn't reconciliation. It's not unity and peace. So when I just, you know, well, I'm just going to leave it with the Lord. Oh, she's over there. I'm going to go over here kind of thing. Oh, she's sitting there. I'm going to sit here. Then nothing's resolved. Something's going on in me. So if I can't do that, then I need to continue to seek the Lord and ask Him to work in my own heart. But that's not truly giving way. When Paul mentions in verse 3, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Help these women. You know, there are times when an unbiased third person needs to come in and help solve the problem, which is why we have, you know, we have our pastors here that can do that kind of a thing. And you help. If you ever are, find yourself as that third person, it's something that you really need to be called to. But if you find yourself as that third person, our job as that third person isn't the umpire to keep score. As we listen, oh, yeah, you've got a point there. You've got a point. Yeah, 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 I can see that. Oh, what? Oh, no, did you? Wow. You know, I mean, you can, and as women, we can go, you know. But that's not helpful in the situation. We're going to be the third person having a conflict pretty soon with these two. But it's always a good idea, and you probably do this as a mom, is you try to get them to solve the problem. You can be the person sitting there, but you try to get them and ask them questions. How do you see this? And what needs to happen here for you to have resolution in this and to resolve this conflict? What needs to happen? And what needs to happen? What do you think needs to happen? You know, you're letting them resolve it rather than you, oh yeah, keeping score and all those kind of things. But better yet, just leave that with somebody who is called to do that. So when we are walking in the Spirit and we're letting that sweet reasonableness from our lives, we are giving way. We are back in chapter 2, esteeming others better than ourselves. And we're letting this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. We know, and as it says, let your gentleness be made known to all and the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He is walking in the midst of his church. He is present with us. He is with his people. He is among his people. And when we're aware of that, more aware of that, that he is in this conversation, he is aware of my heart. He's aware of your heart. It draws us to a place of humility and that sweet reasonableness. We want him to be pleased with us. We want there to be peace in our lives and in the body of Christ. And we want to reflect him in his love and his mercy and his grace and his compassion on all those around us. And we know that, you know, people are not perfect. And yeah, people are going to rub us the wrong way. But I need to get down on my knees again before the Lord and allow him to reveal my heart to me. I mean, this is a daily thing. I don't know. Is it a daily thing in your life? Is it a daily thing in my life? Lord, would you just wash over me? Just empty me of all my pettiness and my judgments and misjudgments and all of those things, and help me to see like you, to hear like you, to talk like you, to walk like you, to feel like you, to extend grace and mercy and all those things. It's a daily thing that we need to do before the Lord. So here, it produces joy, more joy in our life. I don't want, there's already too many things that want to take away my joy. I don't want a conflict with somebody. You don't want a conflict with somebody. So let's let our sweet reasonableness just flow out of our lives. And as we look at one another, again, in this room, in this church, in your home, your husband, your children, your parents, your sisters, brothers, you know, all that family and friends, to look at them and to see them through the Lord's eyes, and to, and as much as depends on you and me, to live peaceably among all men. And Lord, we need the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And Father, thank you for portions of scripture like this, where we see that here are these two women, that they're not perfect. They love you. They served you. And you cared enough to address it, Lord. And you spoke to us tonight. And I pray for my own life and then the lives of my sisters, Lord, that you would help us to walk in the Spirit, to give way. And would you show us, Lord, if there's an area in our lives that we haven't been giving way and that we have been too stubborn in, and we haven't taken the back seat, we're not willing to yield, and there isn't any sweet reasonableness coming forth. Show us, Lord, and then change our hearts. Lord, we want to please you. We want to walk in your spirit and in the power of your spirit. We want this mind, the mind of Jesus, to be in us. And we want our joy to be full. And we want to go out rejoicing in you because you've given us the power to overcome. You've given us the victory. We thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that you would bless my sisters as they go into their groups. Give them a good discussion about you, Lord, and bless their week. In Jesus' name, amen.